Well, this morning we want to talk about our second commandment. This one for me was quite interesting, and I enjoyed the research that I found as we talk about idol worship. I want to start off by saying that this commandment is closely linked to the one we talked about last week. The one that says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Idol worship was rampant among the nations surrounding Israel. Most of these nations had carved images to which they bowed, sacrificed, and performed various acts of worship. Often that pagan worship involved killing infants and prostitution. And the Israelites were strictly warned to keep themselves separate from the pagan nations that were surrounding them and to avoid any activities that resembled their vile worship rites. Can you imagine how difficult it was for the Israelites to not kowtow to these pagan nations, to not pick up on their pagan habits, to listen to what God tells them? That's true for us this morning. That's true for us today in this world. That's one of the reasons why we are encouraged to associate with, to have friends that are Christians. Because if we hook up with a person that is idol worshiping, I promise you, it will not be long, and you will be worshiping that same idol as the people you hang out with. God hates idolatry in any form. It steals the attention and honor that belongs only to God. Did you ever think of that? All the time that we pay worshiping idols, or at least giving idols our attention, which is a form of worship, is stealing from God what He has commanded us that is due Him. In many nations today, carved gods and goddesses are still an obvious violation of this commandment. Right today. Maybe more so than before. I don't know. However, the sin of idolatry is ultimately a sin of the heart. Excuse me. An idol is anything we depend upon to meet the deep needs of the heart, love, security, worth, or significance. Anything that falls into that category that we give our attention to, we are breaking the second commandment. When we seek to find identity and security in something besides God, we have made it an idol. We often search for peace or identity through relationships, substance, money. That's my favorite one. Entertainment and addiction. Now, I need to say this. The word addiction, when I say that word, what was the first thing that came to your mind? Huh? Drugs. Which is true. But addiction also applies to anything that takes the place of God. Anything that we become addicted to can be breaking the second commandment. Even good things can become idols if we're not careful. Let me give you an example. Ministries, hobbies, charity work, or family can take the rightful place only God should hold in our lives. Now, I want to back up a little bit on ministries. If I stand here before you and preach to you and have this ministry because it gives Gary Zinger attention, or in some cases because these televangelists become multimillionaires, or for any other reason than following the Holy Spirit and ministering to the people and the flock, even ministry can be idol worship. Even hobbies can be idol worship. Anything. But I like to illustrate that ministry one because it's so prevalent in our world today. We want to sit down and listen to a minister on TV because I really like him, or he really makes me understand. Before you do that, you better discern why that minister is in that ministry. Because if you do not, you are breaking the second commandment. This commandment also contains a warning for future generations. Now, this one really come home to me. God is saying that if we don't deal with idolatry in our generation, we will pass it down to our children and to their children. For years, I read this commandment where it says, let me get it here. I, the Lord your God, a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me. What does that mean? I always kind of just scratched over that. But I want to tell you what it means this morning if you haven't already figured it out. Children learn to handle life by watching their parents. When children observe mom and dad running to a bottle or a pill or another romance or a shopping spree to make them feel good about themselves, they follow that pattern. When children watch their parents spend time and money and energy on worldly pursuit, they naturally copy those values, and they, in turn, will raise their own children to do the same. That's what that means. We like to say we have to live by example, raise our children by example, which is all true. But this is the reason why. Because what we do, we are teaching our children to do the same thing. So now you have a whole family breaking the second commandment. A whole generation, perhaps, breaking the second commandment. So let's look at Aaron's idolatry while Moses was meeting with God on the mountain. That brings us to our text. I'll read it here this morning. Verses 4 and 5. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, to say God was upset would be an understatement with Aaron, with the Israelites. He had just given the people his commandments. And already, before Moses could even get back down off the mountain, they were breaking two of them. God called these people stiff-necked because of their hard hearts. They had witnessed the awesome power of God while fleeing slavery in Egypt. But already they were attributing those miracles to other gods. Aaron himself was faithless, attempting to create a false idol and claiming that it was meant to represent God. The Israelites actually built an idol of a calf to represent God. Now, what is this? What's the significance to this? I kind of see it this way. Cowboys say they are the dumbest animals on earth. You can look into their eyes and see no brain activity happening inside their head. They eat, they drink, they relieve themselves and sleep, and that was about all. Can you imagine Aaron instructing the Israelites to build a calf to represent God? But even deeper than that, even more important than that, can you imagine the Israelites believing Aaron? They knew what cattle were. They knew how dumb they were. But they were so anxious, they were so hungry to worship something, they could not wait for Moses to come down off the mountain and tell us how we are to live our life. Are we guilty of that? We pray and pray and pray and ask God for guidance or for whatever it is we're praying about, and then don't get an answer. Do we wait patiently, or do we just move on to a golden calf? I know, I speak for myself, I am an extremely impatient person. Don't ask Granny, she'll have a different description. But I know what being impatient is, and I know how hard it is to overcome that impatience when it comes to waiting for God's answer to my prayers. I'm sure it was the same for the Israelites. But how do you think they felt when Moses got back down? You think they felt stupid? I think they felt ashamed. We do the same thing, but it just looks a little different. We don't make golden calves. We don't make golden anything. We don't melt down our jewelry so we can have this idol. This one just come to me. Don't take this wrong. As I was growing up, we had friends that were Catholic. My parents did. And they always went to their house and noticed Jesus hanging on a cross on the wall, usually in a predominant place. And I can remember talking to my dad and mother about this, that they said, well, you know, if you have to find out the reason why they hang that cross on the wall. If they hang that cross and the type of attention and the reason that they have could be idol worship. But at best, it could be an attempt to distract us from our true worship. We were not allowed to have a cross with Jesus hanging on it in our house. Now, having said that, don't take it that I'm telling you it's wrong. Don't take it that I'm telling you you should not have that. What I'm saying is you better make sure you're hanging that crucifix on your wall for the right reason. So how do we break this commandment today? In the New Testament, Jesus didn't speak a whole bunch about idolatry. However, we can turn to the New Testament authors and for examples of how people broke this commandment. The Old Testament is loaded with examples. The New Testament is loaded with examples of how we break the second commandment. A shift had taken place in regards to physical idolatry. As Christianity expanded into lands previously rejecting God, idol worship was plentiful. Paul witnessed the presence in Athens. He saw that the city was taken over by idols. We know the Romans practiced idolatry as well. Acts 17 and verse 29 and 30, it says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by men's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. That's what Paul told the people in Athens. He went on to the other cities and preached the same thing. Today, Christians don't usually practice idolatry by bowing to statues, but they worship false idols in other ways. Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Since we are not supposed to worship with idols, how do we worship? Well, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, we must follow the leadership of God's Spirit. Be sensitive to him. Spiritual worship brings us to a higher level of spiritual commitment. God sees our heart and actually lives in our heart. Excuse me. When we worship in spirit, it is so much more than just saying a prayer. I don't want to make light of saying prayers. We need to talk to God. But spiritual worship can and does move us away from where we are at if we are not worshiping God spiritually. It is powerful. It is the only way to worship God. You need to feel. He lives in our heart. You need to feel him there. And when you do, worship is, worshiping God is so much more effective, so much more meaningful, so much more to our spiritual lives, where it's easier to follow the commandment. It is vitally important to rid our hearts of these eternal idols that steal the love that is meant for God alone. Do you get that? It is vitally important to rid our hearts of these eternal idols that steal the love that is meant for God alone. Now, today, it is harder, I imagine, than it was for the Israelites, because Satan has thrown so much more in front of us. It is worth deciphering which is evil and which is not. Satan has learned how to cause us to circumvent the Ten Commandments. You want to make Satan's day? Start worshiping that money. Or start worshiping that new car. Or start worshiping that work that you do so it brings glory and honor to you. You make Satan's day. You want to make God's day? Follow the second commandment. You want to make God's day? Worship Him with every part of your being. Verbally, with your actions, with your words, with your spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Closing hymn.